I'll take youth any day if they go the right direction. I'm not against youth.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live, presented by Xbox One. Xbox One bringing fantasy football to life. I'm Missy Matthews, joined by Bob Labriola and Craig Woofley. Coach LeBeau opening it nice for us. You know, youth is good, but they have to go in the right direction.
Right, yeah. I'll take youth anytime as long as they go the right way. You know, that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, Dick LeBeau demands. You really need to have people be where they're supposed to be for the integrity of the scheme. You know, one of the things that I believe happened last year was guys trying to do too much, then they're out of position, they're not where everyone else expects them to be, and you have breakdowns. So, yeah, Dick LeBeau has said many times that he is not opposed to, you know, working in new people, young people, because that's the way the game is now with so much roster turnover, free agency, and the like. But, yeah, it's nice when they go the right way.
You know, you're exactly right, Bob. And the thing about it is, it's earning the coach's trust. They got to believe that when you are supposed to be in a spot, you're in the spot. And until you get and establish that sort of credibility, you're not going to get a chance to get in the spot. So you got to make sure that every rep you are where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that you do it as long as you need to be doing it, because that's the only way you will build that sort of credibility with a coach.
Well, we're going to get to some news and notes from practice. Then after that, as Coach LeBeau kind of set up for us, guys, we'll be doing our rookie report, looking at the Steelers' 9 drafted guys and how they're faring so far in camp. But today, we some injuries to get to. Jarvis Jones and Ryan Shazier not practicing again, the same with Steve McClendon. Ramon Foster and Lance Moore also were not in pads. I feel like maybe Ramon and Lance were more of the veteran days, probably just a day off for those guys. But that's two practices in a row for Jarvis Jones and Ryan Shazier, and three for McClendon.
Yeah, and, you know, there, what's exactly going on with them, I really don't know. I mean, there have been some reports on the internet that Steve McClendon might have had a concussion. We'll have to see. Ryan Shazier, we know for certain that his injury is, according to Mike Tomlin, a boo-boo on his knee. And, you know, Jarvis Jones, you know, we'll have to see. But what I think now, where we are right now with those three guys, I don't think they play in the preseason opener.
Also worth mentioning, Darius Heyward-Bey, who was dealing with a concussion, he was back on the practice field today as well.
That's good. You know, one receiver up, one back.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, for Ramon, for the Veterans Day off in the starting lineup, Wolf, Chris Hubbard.
Yes, very interesting. Chris Hubbard getting the chance to step up, run with the ones. Excited to see it for the young man. Early on in camp, I kind of took a glance at him and really didn't see what I was hoping to see. So I kind of put him on the back burner, so to speak, as we were talking about. And then, you know, got the heads up, check him out again, looked at him. You know what? The young man's growing. You know, I heard a couple good, nice concussive whacks on traps. You know, and I look up, there's 7-4. Then I watch, see a little drive blocking. Oh, he's taking his man off the ball. Then I see him get his good hand placement, punching on a nice lockout on a pass pro. You know what? The young man is starting to make some heads turn. And I really am excited to see where he can go, maybe get some reps, you know, looking good, some reps on Saturday night.
You know, staying with the offensive line, Wolf, you and I were talking about this too. Mike Adams got some snaps with the first group at right tackle.
Yes, he did. And I think it's good that he gets that opportunity. Mike Adams, we're waiting for him. Want him to show a little bit of fire. Come on, Michael. Get a little honked off. Drive a guy into the ground. Maybe take that big catcher's mitt of a hand, put it in his face, and push off as you stand back up. Now, do a little male dominance thing, a little of that alpha thing going on. That's what I want to see from him. He's capable. I have seen this young man play. I've seen him take people off the line of scrimmage and a drive block. I've seen him lock out and pass protect good. And then he ran into that bump in the road, and the confidence has been something I think he's got to rebuild that thing. He's got to get hustling and doing it, because the clock is ticking. And we need to see that.
Something else early in practice that we saw was Dree Archer working a lot with the wide receivers labs, not with the running backs. He was kind of going back and forth, but did spend a significant time with the wideouts.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, something that is going to be a pattern with him. He will work some with the running backs. We have seen that. Even in 11-on-11, he ran the ball a couple of times. But Dree Archer is a guy that the Steelers see as a, you know, multiple position kind of threat. And again, we've talked about this. He is different from your normal running back who goes out for a pass pattern. Dree Archer doesn't go out, you know, 6 yards, turn around, face the quarterback, you throw it to him, and he catches it and then tries to do something with it. Dree Archer has the ability to run patterns and catch the ball as receivers do on the move. If you get Dree Archer the ball on a quick slant or something like that with his speed, the next play could be an extra point attempt. So I think that they're trying to cultivate Dree Archer's multiple skills, and we will see him spend different days, you know, with different position groups.
Oh, I was watching Dree Archer the other day. Normally, when you watch the guys, your head kind of moves, okay. And then Dree goes by and goes, oh, my neck. You know what I mean? That's how fast that guy is. You can get a head snap on yourself watching this cat move. You know, so I'm excited. Now, I noticed he makes this comment. He says, hey, I can play inside slot. I can play outside receiver. I can play tailback. I can play this. And he says, I can play fullback. Whoa on the fullback thing, Dree. I appreciate his enthusiasm, but I would hold my breath on the fullback thing.
Anything else from practice you guys noticed?
Well, you know, there were some, I thought the defense pretty much had their way in the 11-on-11 tackling drill. There was a nice run by Le'Veon Bell, but then the next play, Lawrence Timmons just rocked LeGarrette Blount. There was a nice pass from Ben to Heath Miller, and a nice little run by Jordan Hall, one of the backup running backs. He did a nice little jump cut in the hole for about a 5 or 6 yard gain. But outside of that, the defense, I thought, pretty much had its way in that period. And, you know, Mike Tallman calls it the ebb and flow, and that's kind of what we saw there. In a subsequent competition period, Le'Veon Bell, two different times, stepped up to pick up a blitz to protect Ben Roethlisberger and allow him to make a throw. The first one, he picked up Mike Mitchell, who was coming up the middle, and another time it was Terrence Garvin. That pass happened, to be incomplete. Another play, Marcus Wheaton had Cortez Allen beat deep down the sideline. Ben put the ball there, I thought, pretty much on target. The receiver did not finish the catch, as they say.
Yes.
Wolf. So, you know, ebb and flow.
Seems to be the theme of camp.
Yeah.
Let me just say this, though, because I was a groundhog level on that hit by LT on LeGarrette. Now, I was at a county fair years ago.
Oh, boy. They had
two stunt cars go off ramps, and they T-boned, and that was exactly what happened. Those two hit each other so hard. LT went 360 this way, and LeGarrette went 360. I tell you, that was a collision. That was one of those Clash of the Titans you love to be ringside for.
All right, well, as we mentioned at the top of the broadcast, we are going to do a rookie recap. So let's take a look at the 9 draft picks from this previous draft. And, guys, obviously there's a few here that we're dealing with injuries, Jordan Zumwalt and Rob Blanchflower. But we will start at the top, of course, with our first-round draft pick, Ryan Shazier. I think it's no secret coaches have thought highly of him since he has been drafted. His spring through OTAs and mini camp proved otherwise. And same thing here at training camp, Wolf. He's still the guy as advertised.
There's no question about it. This young man came in and he was everything that they talked about, only more. What I love about him is he plays with his eyes. You know, it's very hard for young guys not to get caught up in the crosstown traffic and get bamboozled in the skullduggery that occurs with some of the schemes that the offenses throw at him. He never looks out of place. He always looks like he's picking his way through the garbage. That's bodies on the ground. He doesn't get tangled up. He reads. He gets to his spot. I'm very impressed with the young man, and I'm impressed with his lack of him being impressed with himself. He seems to be one of these guys that really enjoys coming out and doing the grunge work. And he may be a star in the making, but you wouldn't know it by talking to him.
Yeah, one of the things sometimes with rookies is, you know, you look at them and you come away with the impression, you know, this guy doesn't even know what he doesn't know. Ryan Shazier, though, I believe, knows what he doesn't know. And he is, as they say, efforting to remedy that. And, you know, one of the things that the Steelers look for in their draft picks is, you know, is the athlete humble enough to accept coaching? And Ryan Shazier, despite all of his difference-making physical talents in the characteristics that he has already that he brought here, he comes across to me as a guy who's willing to be coached.
Ryan Shazier's, I guess, personal motto he uses on Instagram, Twitter sometimes that you always see is stay humble, eat crumbs. He uses it all the time pretty much, even if it's a great picture of him from practice or something. So that kind of goes along the lines of what you guys are saying.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing about him is he was a guy who was put with the first unit with the first OTA. And a lot of times, you know, you do that with a rookie. Mike Tomlin usually doesn't like to, you know, get real effervescent with his new players, especially rookies. But he put Ryan Shazier in with the first group, the first snap of 11-on-11 at OTAs, and it doesn't seem to have, you know, impacted Ryan Shazier's work ethic. He never comes across as a guy who believes that, you know, he is arrived or entitled. And, you know, again, I think that a lot of these things will help him become the player that the Steelers need him to be in 2014.
All right, let's move on to Stephon Tuitt. Here's what Coach Tomlin had to say about this year's second-round draft pick.
More than anything, his willingness to work. He comes in great shape. He's highly conditioned. He's chasing the ball. He's developing the skill, obviously, associated with the position. He's got a ways to go there. They all do. But I like his attitude and approach to it.
Wolf, what do you like about 91?
You know, when I first watched him OTAs and talked to some birdies on the south side and kind of just kibitzed and, yeah, you get little stuff, I my perception of him was a gifted underachiever. And I've totally rewritten that now. He is a gifted overachiever. He's one of these guys. I am really excited to see this young man go. First of all, I didn't know how big he was. And I stood alongside him. I mean, the guy could, like, put his elbow on my shoulder, you know, without even hardly raising an arm up. I didn't realize he was that big. You know, then he's got these long arms, and he's got the ham hocks to hold the point. I love his feet. I love his ability to run. Now, he's got to do just what we're watching right now. That lockout, so important. I saw the master of it today. Aaron Smith was down on the field. And Aaron Smith would be a perfect guy for Stephon Tuitt to emulate, because if anybody had better hands on the defensive line, and that includes the Hawaiian guy from
Kimo Vonoloa.
Yeah, thank you, Kimo. Sure. The great Kimo. How could I forget Kimo? You know, the thing about him, he had great hands. Aaron had better hands, and that's what Stephon's got to do. He's got to get the lockout, trust in the technique, and trust Johnny Mitchell to have him in the right place at the right time. He can do it all.
You know, the thing about Stephon Tuitt, too, is that, you know, there are – he, in being interviewed, there are a lot of opportunities and questions leading him down the path, if he chose to take it, that, yeah, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But he refuses to go there. And again, I've said this a lot of times. He's only 21 years old. You know, Stephon Tuitt's big season at Notre Dame was the season before he had the surgery, where then he was unable to work out and kind of gained weight. When you go back and look at that season, you could YouTube some of those things. You see him returning a fumble against Notre Dame. He's running like a running back. He was 19 years old. 19 years old. I mean, he is still a very young human being, someone who can grow into his body. He's still going to mature physically. He's out there competing against grown men now and holding his own. Tremendous potential. Again, he seems to have the humility to accept coaching. John Mitchell's been giving him some coaching.
He called it tough love, too. It did earlier this camp.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. That's, you know,
not so tough.
It would
love.
Almost, you know, if Tuitt was under the age of 18, it would be almost child abuse. I mean, tough love. Okay, we'll go with that. But he doesn't. You know, he seems to enjoy it, revel in it, beyond accepting it. You know, a lot of times, you know, guys, when they get that kind of hard coaching, you see that by their body language that they're not really paying attention. You never get that from Stephon Tuitt when he's getting his butt chewed out.
And the thing you gotta love, anytime a young man calls his moms up to tell him they got reps with the first team, you gotta love the dude.
In practice.
And yes. He admitted it openly.
Yeah, openly, that's right. All right. Yeah, yeah, good for you, young man.
And, you know, I've talked about this too. I mean, he has a freshness and a genuineness about him. You know, he's kind of an unspoiled person still. A lot of professional athletes, they become jaded. Again, the sense of entitlement. But he has none of that. Again, he called his mom, hey, mom, you know what? I got to run some first team reps in practice today.
Well, here's what Tua said when asked what he feels like he has to prove this training camp.
I already know what I have to do, and that's something I'm going to keep inside of me as a player, just personally and selfishly. But other than that, I just want to be able to do the things that the team needs me to do as a total player.
All right, we already talked a little bit about Dree Archer, the Steelers' third-round draft pick. Guys, not much to say. He's fast. They're kind of he's this offensive weapon that everyone's kind of pulling him. Hey, come over here. Run with the wideouts. Go with the running backs. We see him punt returning, kind of making him this multi-purpose guy.
Yeah, I think that the goal with Stephon Tuitt will be once the Steelers get into
Dree Archer.
Oh, excuse me. That's,
it's okay.
Dree Archer is to get him a certain number of touches per game. And that will include running, receiving, and returning. And, you know, we don't really know what you're ever going to get with kickoff returns because, especially early in the season, when the kicker's legs are fresher and the weather is nicer, the bulk of the kicks usually are touchbacks. So, you know, punt returns, running, and receiving. And, again, I was watching again today, Dree Archer back there catching punts. Caught everyone cleanly. If he continues to do that and gains the confidence of first Danny Smith and then Mike Tomlin, he will become the primary punt returner. And I really think that he is perfect. His skill set is perfect to return punts because he has a little wiggle. And then when he sees that opening, he hits it. Forget about it. It's over. And one of the things about Dree Archer, I was told by Jerry Olsavsky, one of the defensive assistants, is, and Jerry O played inside linebacker, run-stuffing kind of player. He said that, you know, what you try and tell the young inside linebackers is, you know, you're trying to track, you know, where the running back is, how you have to get there, and you're trying to meet him at a point where then you make the tackle. Dree Archer destroys your conventional gyroscope vector analysis that's going on in the heads of these defensive players because he is faster than just about anyone else you will try to do this with. So I think we will see with Dree Archer what we saw with Willie Parker a good bit early in his career. People don't think he's that fast, and they're going to take bad angles, and then you're lining up for an extra point.
One point I would make, you watch him on the punt returns clean, like you said. What I notice is that he does not panic. You see the punt go up there, booms. I don't know if you've ever tried to catch a punt. Oh. I tried. Oh, it was ridiculous. Right. I almost hurt myself. Full of lumbago trying to track that ball down. And Dree Archer very calmly moves back, gives ground, but he's always trying to catch it with a forward motion. You know, and I really like it. I mean, the kid's got great eyes for the ball. He's got good judgment. So, yeah, I think this young man, as many touches you can get, you got to get him in that kickoff return. You got to get him in the punt return. I would love to see him. Put him in motion. Let him run, and then bam, just up the sidelines, rear back, and just heave that rock as far as you can go.
Yeah, and you know, we've also seen him used a little bit on lining up as kind of a wing back coming across the formation for a handoff. You know, that's one of those ones, Wolf, where you say, when you were talking about Ryan Shazier, if you get caught up in the wash and some of the misdirection that the offenses try and present to defensive players, if you're leaning the wrong way with him, mm-hmm. you'll have to be leaning too far. Half a step, going to be too much.
All right, moving on to our fourth-round draft pick, Martavis Bryant. Here's Coach Tomlin's take.
You know, I think that's what he's determining with his efforts. Obviously, he made a few plays today. But, you know, he's a big guy, so we expect him to consistently make big guy plays. I'm interested in him developing a complete game.
Well, if I think camp kind of started slow for Martavis, but then it obviously picked up, especially last week. That's when everybody started taking notice of what he was doing, the catches he was making, and just how much he progressed in that short week and a half.
You know, there's two people that really surprised me in the wide receiver position with their size. One was Keyshawn Johnson. I got alongside him one time, thought, that's a pretty big jabroni there. You know what I mean? For a wideout. Well, you know what? I had the same thing happen down here with Martavis. I'm standing there going, this is a pretty big guy, you know. And you look at him, big hands, showed that with catching the ball one-handed in the end zone and stretching out. Now, he's young, so consistency of route running is going to be a huge thing, because this is, as much as you got to earn the confidence of the coaches, you got to earn the confidence of your quarterback. He's not going to throw that ball into windows, not sure if you're going to appear in the window or not. The other thing I didn't know about Martavis is the fact he's a pretty good dadgum blocker. I watched him down there. He got the wide receiver's version of Oklahoma. It's a little sissified, but I mean, no, it's not bad. You know, not like the real guys, but no, watching him, he had a great block, couple of great blocks. Used that size, got in there, got his hands inside, had a good lockout. And I like that. You know, in a young, strong buck like that, you'll want to see him do it, get that bubble screen, have that Dree Archer zinging up behind him. I'm telling you, it could be something exciting.
You know, we talked a little earlier about hard coaching for Stephon Tuitt from John Mitchell. I heard Mike Tomlin doing that with Martavis Bryant. It was after a catch. Somebody else made a catch. It was during 11-on-11, and Mike Tomlin was yelling, you know, get a block, 1-0, get a block. So, obviously, he's learning what he has been told, and that's a good sign. But I think that when, you know, we're looking at Martavis Bryant in terms of his rookie season, what the Steelers need from him is production in situations. If they can get that from him, production in situations, I think that will be good enough based on the other cast of characters to whom Ben Roethlisberger can throw the football. Martavis Bryant, you know, if he's going to be an extra wide receiver in situational football, he can use his height and his speed to run certain routes, to make certain kinds of plays that, the Steelers would have used Mike Wallace to do early in his career, a lot of down the field, outside the numbers kind of thing. And, you know, if he can contribute in those areas, be a reliable red zone option for Ben, stretch the field a little bit when the ball is in the minus territory, I think that will be good enough for this offense this season. Then down the road, he's going to have to become what I think Wolf was talking about, you know, a guy who is more dependable as a route runner and will be in the spot that the quarterback expects him to be when he's expected to be there, because a lot of times that ball comes out before the guy makes its break.
All right, well, here's how Martavis explained how camp has been going so far for him.
I feel like every day I'm getting better, you know. Really buying into what the coaches and my teammates saying, so we're just working, continuing to get better and progress.
In what ways do you see yourself improving?
Just improving my overall game, whether it's route running, catching the ball, being more dominant blocking, just the whole thing that comes with playing receiver. You know, I want to be better at it.
All right, guys, next we have Shaquille Richardson. And Labs, do you feel like there's a lot of guys in front of him that maybe we haven't seen enough of him just yet?
Yeah, you know, that cornerback position is a curious one, I think, because, you know, at the end of last season, we were judging it, certainly I was judging it, to be deficient, that the Steelers needed to address that area in free agency, possibly, definitely in the draft with a premier pick. That did not happen. But now here we are at camp, and, you know, during the draft, both Dick LeBeau and Carnell Lake were saying, well, you know, we didn't spend a high pick on a cornerback, but we have a lot of guys that we're excited about. And, you know, I just thought, well, you know, that's what coaches say, because, you know, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. But as it's turned out, Antoine Blake and Bryce McCain are a lot closer to Carnell Lake and Dick LeBeau's description than they were in to mine, and what they were in my mind at the end of last season, which was special teams guys, down the road kind of depth chart guys at cornerback. Antoine Blake and Bryce McCain, I think that they have some limitations because of their height, but they are both competitive, and I like them as extra defensive backs now a lot more than I did before, primarily because I didn't know that much about them. So Shaquille Richardson, he has shown some things in camp, but again, I don't know that he is passing those veterans. And how many do you keep, Wolf?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a game of numbers, and for Shaq Richardson, he needs to start standing out, needs to start standing out Saturday night in New York. One of the things I noticed about him, though, today, down in the wide receiver stock blocking drill, you know what? Young man acquitted himself well. Got up inside, locked out, had a great throw down on a dude, and then came off and made the hit. So I like his physical style of play. What I anticipated when everything I'd heard about Shaq Richardson was competent in coverage, not a combative guy, not a real combative guy. You know, not Ike Taylor combative, not Antoine Blake combative. But the fact is, he looked pretty dead gum combative to me. And I would think the guy that he threw down on the ground felt like that's a pretty combative guy.
You know, special teams, too, is going to be huge for these guys. Antoine Blake and Bryce McCain, I think, are both approaching this with an understanding of how important special teams is, how critical it is for their survival in this league. Shaquille Richardson, he's a younger guy. I don't know how much special teams he played in college because, you know, starting players don't often play special teams when they're in college. So, you know, he's going to have to be combative to contribute on special teams. And if he's not contributing on special teams, I can't say that I would be real optimistic about his chances.
All right, let's move on to Wesley Johnson. Wolf, we're going to defer to you on this one since you know a thing or two about O-linemen.
I try to anyhow. Wesley Johnson is a young guy. You love the fact that he's one of these guys that you can plug in from left tackle to right tackle, all points in between. Having said that, Wesley Johnson also has to understand that being 6'5", 6'6", whatever he is, he's got to bend the knees and get leverage. And that's really what's been holding him back a little bit. He's gotten himself in a position, he gets overpowered at times, but yet at the same moment, he's a very smart kid. He doesn't make mistakes. He works very, very hard. This is a work in progress. This is a young man that needs some schooling. He needs to be able to build his ham hock power. You know, he's got good reach. He's got decent feet, all those things. But you got to be able to, you know, the thing about his guys today, they don't put the barbell on the shoulders, put manhole covers on it, drink a gallon of milk, and do squats up and down as much as we used to back in the day. You have to have that ability to gluteus maximi a guy out of the trenches and get yourself a push on, you know? And I know that we got outside zone and you got the little skip in there. You still have to get under and up. Same foot, same shoulder, and drive a guy out.
You know, I think you need to introduce him to the concept of the all-you-can-eat buffet, too.
You know what?
Because he needs to be bigger.
Take him to lunch someday at the cafeteria.
Doesn't he? Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? You can accomplish a lot with beefcake and barbell squats in the offseason. Let me tell you.
All right, moving on to Jordan Zumwalt. Again, I think guys like Shaquille Richardson, a crowded linebacker core that he's dealing with. He also had that groin injury, so we're just starting to see more and more of him, Labs.
Yeah, Jordan Zumwalt, I mean, it was kind of interesting to me that when OTAs broke, Jordan Zumwalt was kind of seen, I think, as having the potential to provide depth at outside linebacker. But he came to camp, injured his groin relatively soon, and that's kind of, I don't know if he's out of that mix or he has been passed by, you know, Chris Carter and Arthur Motes, but it doesn't seem like Jordan Zumwalt is in the mix as much as a backup outside linebacker as maybe the hope was when the team was still in Pittsburgh. I'm going to say about Jordan Zumwalt now what I said about Shaq Richardson, special teams. He needs to establish himself as a core guy on special teams. And if he does that, you know, there are spots for those guys. And if he does not, if he cannot, because if Jordan Zumwalt is going to line up at inside linebacker, that's going to be his position in 2014. Look at the depth chart. You got Ryan Shazier and Lawrence Timmons. You got Sean Spence, and you have Vince Williams, and you have Terrence Garvin. That's five. I've never ever been covering a Steelers team that kept more than five inside linebackers. So Jordan Zumwalt, again, that injury pushed it, retarded his progress a little bit. I think his ticket right now is special teams.
You get an opportunity Saturday night to go out on the kickoff Don't pull the parachute. You run straight through and vaporize a couple of guys. You get noticed real quick. You go out there on the punt cover. Same thing. Protect, boom, get down there and drill somebody right in the choppers. That gets the coaches noticing you when you've been, like you put, he got himself behind the eight ball. You miss some reps. You're a young buck. You got a whole cluster of great talent at that linebacker position. You better do something that says, I'm here, I can earn my keep on this, on the special forces. And he's a guy that you think he's got the body for it, he's got the speed for it, I think he's got the attitude for it. Now, can you do it? That's the question.
And the other thing, you know, when we were talking, too, about Dre Archer and his options as a returner being limited somewhat by the fact that kickoffs go out of the end zone. The same goes with Jordan Zumwalt. It wouldn't surprise me if Mike Tomlin might whisper in Sean Sweezum's ear, don't kick it out of the end zone. You know, right. I would rather see these guys, what they have for me covering these kickoffs than just, as you mentioned, you know, kind of doing a little free run and not hit anybody or not have to look for the guy with the ball. So Saturday, I'm going to be very interested. Let's put it this way. I'm going to be a lot more interested in special teams Saturday night than I usually am when they're out here working hard during the day.
Well, I think you guys will like what Jordan Zumwalt said during the interview session today. He says with that injury, he does have something to prove.
I just need to show that I can do it. I need to show that I know what I'm doing, one. That I haven't putting that study time in so I don't come out and just not know what I'm doing. And I also need to show that I need to earn some respect. So I need to get out there. I need to actually grind. I need to work hard. I need to get out there and sweat with everybody and work out. And, you know, I need to be able to show that I can play and hang with these people.
Now, Wolf, I know you said when you stood next to Martavis Bryant, you realized how tall he was. What about our next guy, Daniel McCullers?
Woo, that is one big dude. I will tell you, I learned early on, you know, you're always moving around the defensive line, whatever, on the sidelines there, trying to get a window to look, watch the offense from behind, because that's the only view I had for all the years I played. So I can't watch it from behind the defense on the other side of the ball. So I'm moving around, and I found there's this guy in front of me. I'm looking at it, it's McCullers. No wonder you can't see nothing, for crying out loud. But the young man comes in. He is just boss hog strong. I mean, you watch him. He runs everybody back to the quarterback, whether it's Marquise Pouncey to Chris Elkins on one-on-ones. He gets in there. Now, the first thing is he's got to get himself ready pre-snap, which Johnny Mitchell, the one-man Paris Island, is all over him about. And then you got to go and you got to make sure that you are off on the snap of the ball. He's a little late. Having said all that, when you watch people try to run block him, it's almost humorous. I mean, it makes you wonder what this guy could do in one of them, the sumo competitions over in Japan. Because I think he could walk a lot of dudes right out of the ring, you know. And I love the fact that I saw him today come on the backside, go down the line, close his gap, keep square, and then come off. And then I watch bodies go like somebody tossed a hand grenade out there.
Yeah, Kevin Colbert made the point after the draft that, you know, just because of his size, he will be an obstruction. You know, if he just comes off the ball if you're trying to single block him, the offense with a center, if he just comes off the ball and, you know, just bulldoze, you could bring that center right back into the quarterback's lap. I mean, he is just that big, that powerful. And, you know, Wolf, the thing about him to me is 350 pounds. I mean, he still looks pretty good in the uniform, is not a normal situation for somebody that big.
It's not a sloppy 352. That let me tell you something. He's pretty tight for 352. This guy crosses the road. You either get a Bigfoot sighting, or if he stops, PennDOT comes along and puts cones around him. Because I'm telling you, he's that big of a target.
Well, here's what McCullers said about how intense training camp has been.
So far, so good. You know, trying to get adjusted to the system, learning your plays, your technique, and your keys. That's the biggest thing, watching the film. And just working my technique, that's the biggest thing for me right now. Using my hands and watching film, that's the biggest thing. We're in there probably three hours a day looking at film and tape. And, you know, we've put on pads finally, and we hit each other each and every day. So it's a lot more physical. But, you know, overall, we're doing pretty good.
All right, next up, Rob Blanchflower, and guys just like Zumwalt dealing with an injury. He had that high ankle sprain, and I won't say tight ends, there's a lot of them, but I think it feels like there's a lot of tight ends because everyone's healthy this year.
Yeah, the tight end situation to me is made most interesting by Will Johnson, the presence of Will Johnson. Where is Will Johnson going to count on the 53-man roster? Is he a tight end? Will he count with the running backs? Because, you know, Will Johnson is the only player on this roster, 90-man roster, who is a fullback who can serve in that role. However, throughout this camp, he has been working almost exclusively with the tight ends. And Will Johnson holds his own in all of those tight end blocking drills. And for me, he has reliable hands. I think that he could be used to catch the ball a little bit more if necessary. So, you know, what happens the rest of this preseason in terms of injuries, and do the Steelers need to, you know, try and steal a roster spot and carry an extra defensive lineman because of injuries on the final 53? Do they try and steal that roster spot by having Will Johnson as the third tight end? You know, all of these things are kind of still up in the air. But Rob Blanchflower, I thought that, you know, that high ankle sprain might have removed him from the competition, but to be quite honest, after Heath Miller and Matt Spaeth, I'm really not seeing anything from anyone that makes them look like a lock or that they are pulling away enough that Rob Blanchflower cannot come back and make this team if they decide to count Will Johnson with the running back. So, you know, he's similar to Jordan Zumwalt in that he was put back by an injury, but the difference to me is the competition on the lower end of the depth chart at tight end is not nearly as intense as it is at inside linebacker.
Backs on out, tight ends on outside backers today. Rob Blanchflower found himself in the steely gaze of Mike Tomlin. The poor young man must have run 6, 7, maybe 8 reps in a row. Mike was not happy and wanted to keep him going. Then he finally kind of got on a little roll, won a couple at the end. He's got a ways to go. You know, he's a tall guy. He's got to get a lower pad level. He's got to learn to get his hands inside. When you get your hands outside, that's the flag time coming. He's got to be one of these guys that consistently works to get that inside position. I don't know about his pass catching yet. The guy that I like, that I think is kind of flying under the radar, is Eric Winters.
Waters.
Him too. That's the guy. No wonder he didn't respond when I was calling him. All right, the fact is, you know, Waters is a guy from Missouri. He felt that he was not utilized correctly, that they didn't throw him the rock, that all they had him do was block. Well, Gadzooks, man, he blocks pretty dadgum good. I think he ought to stick with that because he's a good flatbacker. He rolls over that front foot. He rips to rack with the fist, puts his forehead right in your chin, and it's an old-school blocking style that I love. So, anyhow, I like the Waters.
All right, well, speaking of Coach Tomlin, let's go down to the field for his post-practice press conference.
You guys ready to go? Work not as good today as it's been in other days, a little sloppy, some pre-snap penalties on defense, too many drop balls on offense. I acknowledge from time to time you're going to have those days, but you can't like it and you can't stack them one after another. So we're going to challenge this group to come back out and have a more productive day tomorrow. Questions?
Mike, is that because day off yesterday possibly? Or?
No, you know, I don't care about what created it. The issue is for us is not to stack those type of days, to make sure that we come out here every day with the mentality that we're going to thrive and not survive. And I just think we had too many survivors today, guys looking to get through it as opposed to improve within it.
Mike, can you update injuries, specifically Shazier and McClendon?
Shazier's got a boo-boo.
Not a knee boo-boo? Or?
It's just a boo-boo. And Steve is coming back from a concussion.
What about, was anything wrong with Hayward or Gilbert today?
Minor things, minor training camp things. You should expect to see them back out here tomorrow.
Have you seen from Landry just from this training camp as opposed to what you saw last summer? Is it just experience? It seems like he's a little more accurate.
I hadn't thought about it in comparison to last year. I know that he comes out here with the intent on improving every day, communicating, leading, and doing the things that's appropriate for the position. I like the direction in which he's moving. It just needs to continue.
Mike Adams at right tackle. Did you get glean anything about his play today?
I wasn't looking at him directly. I'll look at the tape. Obviously, Mike's a guy that's been working on both sides, but this isn't his first shot at it, so I expect him not to be a novice.
How's LeGarrette fitting in? How's he doing on it?
I think he's doing great. He works hard. He's a competitor. He's a football lover. Good attributes. right, thanks, Coach. Thank you, guys.
We usually hear Coach Tomlin and players saying, you know, let's stack some wins, but today it was let's not stack bad practices in a row. The first time we heard Coach Tomlin say, hey, work wasn't that great today.
Yeah, sloppy, as he mentioned, some pre-snap penalties on offense, drop balls. I mentioned the Marcus Wheaton one, but I like the, you know, we want to thrive, not just survive. And you know, we are kind of in the dog days, right, Wolf?
Yes, indeed. You're right in the middle of the grind.
These days leading up to the preseason opener, my experience is that there is a tendency, you know, for this kind of sloppiness to crop up. So I would imagine that tomorrow might be a nice full day out there on the grass, don't you think?
I would think that based on the fact you have a Saturday night game and now you're about 96 hours, so I flunked math twice. I'm not even going to try to add it up. But the point is, you're closing in on that first game. You want to see a good, crisp, hard practice today. And then maybe you start to throttle it back in the ensuing days. That ain't going to happen because, you know what, you honked off the boss and the boss is not happy. That means tomorrow is going to be a cruncher.
Absolutely. And he also did say Steve McClendon, as you had mentioned earlier, dealing with a concussion, and Ryan Shazier still has a boo-boo.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tomlin will not give in on the Ryan Shazier injury.
And I don't think he will.
No, he is starting to refer to that the way he was talking about Le'Veon Bell, towards right before Le'Veon got back onto the field. So, a little tough love from the head man.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can watch head coach Mike Tomlin's press conference tomorrow at 11:35 right here on Steelers.com. We'll also break down a lot of what he says during that press conference on tomorrow's live show, so make sure you join us for that. But that is going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live, presented by Xbox One. For Wolf and Bob and Missy, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m.